It is my privilege to be the pastor of this church, and I do want to just share how encouraged I have been with the way in which God has been working in and through the lives of many who consider this their community of faith. I pray and trust that in this Advent season you would experience the gift of God's presence in your home and in your lives, and that you too will be encouraged by Him. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Luke chapter 1? I'm going to read from verse 26 to 38. And I want you to follow along, whether through the bulletin or in your Bible or perhaps on the screen behind us. And this is what the Word of the Lord says today. Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. In this season of life, my heart and soul resonates with the psalmist. In Psalm 42, he says that as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Now, of course, panting is a synonym for the word longing. It speaks of a strong desire to want to know God, to want to experience Him in our lives. You know, while the Bible does a great job at teaching us about God, I think that the invitation of Scripture consistently, especially in this season of life, is to a knowing that is also an experience of His presence with us today. The psalmist says that his soul thirsts for God, for the living God, and he asks the question, "When can I go and meet with God?" And over time, the church has responded historically, as has just been shown through that little video clip, that we have said that in this season of Christmas, it is not about the presents and the gifts and the turkey, although those are all great. It is not about the family time primarily, but it is about meeting with the God who has come close, to be present with you, with us, for the sake of our lives and for the sake of this world. I hope that you develop that kind of thirst, that kind of longing. I prayed this for myself this season, and I've prayed it for my family, and this is not quite my message. This is free of charge. This is what we call God's unmerited favor, grace bestowed to you and me. But I pray that there might be a hunger and a thirst amongst us again, not only for a knowledge, but for a true encounter and experience of the living God. For what the world needs is not more knowledgeable Christians, but those who indeed experience God at work within them and in this world. For His kingdom has come and will fully come. And in His kingdom, things happen, things change. Life comes, healing comes, restoration comes. That through the church, through the body of Christ, God desires to reconcile and make whole and to bring hope. And you and I are invited to be a part of such a hope. Now, you look very serious this morning, and that doesn't help me, because then I'm going to try my hardest to preach so that you look more pleasant, and that may take a long time. So it's in your best interest, as it is in mine, to smile at the very least and to make me feel that you're okay. Why are you guys so serious today? Is this the impact I have?
Not even a little.
Not even a little. Thank you so much. I hope you're telling the truth this morning. The scripture this morning is one that has been preached on, of course, at this time over and over several times. And I got to be honest, I have it in my notes. I wrote it in my notes to confess to you that from a preaching perspective, Advent is my least favorite time to preach. You would say that is so anti-Christian of you, Pastor. You should not confess that. It is my least favorite time, I think, for a number of reasons, but primarily because I've asked myself the question, how many times can I preach on the birth narratives and say what has not already been said? And how many times can I repeat the Magnificat without feeling in some sense that it's so very much disconnected from the realities that I face in my own lives? And so I approach the text quite humbly and a little bit, desperately saying, Father, is there something else I could preach on? And I haven't got that from the Lord. And so here I go. A miraculous story, a peasant girl. Historically, culturally, we believe she was between the ages of 12 and 13. I read the story differently when I think about such vulnerability, about such innocence. I think of it differently because my oldest is 12 years old. And I can't fathom what Mary must have experienced as this angelic visitor who informs her that she's to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah shows up in her presence. It's not initiated by Mary at all. It's not like she seeks it or calls out for it or cries for it. Luke makes it very clear to us that the angel Gabriel appears to her without any solicitation on her account. And what is perhaps interesting for me as I study this particular passage is that the other account of when Gabriel shows up in the Old Testament is in the book of Daniel in chapter 8, where there is someone who is desecrating the temple and Gabriel shows up as an angel announcing that God will be on Israel's side and will renew and restore. And so when Gabriel shows up announcing to this 12, 13-year-old peasant girl that she will be the Messiah of this new kingdom, there seems to be a lot going on in the story that those who would have known what has happened before, what the Old Testament has said about Gabriel in particular, comes into play here. There is a heaviness, a seriousness about his presence. I said to our group this morning, I asked them the question, why do you think Mary was afraid? Well, I think the simple answer is none of us expect that some kind of spiritual being is going to show up in our lives. There's a natural fear that happens when something that cannot be rationally explained happens in the life of an individual. But I also think that the fear that Mary experiences is the fear because of who she is. The fear of understanding that there is something significant happening, and perhaps the question that lingers in her is, why me? Why am I chosen? You see, fear, I think, is a human response to that which we cannot explain or perhaps do not even expect. And yet I think today, as I look at this particular passage, that when the angel appears and he offers the word of comfort and says not to be afraid, I feel that Mary, like me, stands sometimes before God with the same sense of fear as to what God may ask of me and in my life. I think that the reason Gabriel tells her to not be afraid is important. And I think perhaps this is the simplicity of the message. This is as good as I can get on this passage today. That the simplicity of the word that he gives to Mary is a word that we as the church can receive in this season of Advent. He says two things. The first he says is simply this, you have found favor with God. The word highly favored in other translations simply means that the grace of God has come to you. God has chosen you to reveal his will and his purpose in your life. This favor is not an account of Mary's status or on her searching, on our prayer life and how spiritual she was, on how pure she was. This was a choice that was made by God. He chose her to do the incredible thing of being the mother of the Messiah. It is what the Apostle Paul speaks of when he says it is the grace of God that saves us. God's choosing, not our own. God comes to us. Grace of God is located in his choosing of those in particular who do not think themselves worthy. I have three children. Well, we have three children. Lauren's 12, Luke's 10. By the way, did you guys notice Luke's hairstyle? You know, I was hoping it'd be a passing phase, but he is wearing that proudly. He said on his birthday in February, he's going to cut it and donate his hair so that they can make, you know, use it for making wigs for people who need hair. But now he's changing his tune, you know, and he's going, I like it enough and people like it, so I'm going to keep it, you know. But we have Luke and then we have Alana. And as a parent, as I raise them, one of the things that I'm very cautious about as I raise my children is to affirm them as my children, as our children. We all understand what it's like to be a child and to be insecure in your parental love or affirmation. We know that one of the hardest things to do is to discipline a child and to do it in such a way that they do not feel you're withdrawing your love from them. But then in fact, your discipline is because you love them. Another way of saying this is that parents understand what it means to show their kids favor. We understand what it means to show them a choice, a preference, a decision that does not rest in what they do or won't do. We know what it means to love them and choose them, not because they are going to obey you or put away the toys that we trip on when we make our way to the washroom at 2 a.m. And I also know the impact on my children when they do not feel that they are favored, that they have not received grace. I know how they act when they feel that the actions they take is going to result in and an insecurity in their feeling. Does mom and dad still care? Do you love me? Now, I know if your children are like mine, and perhaps I'm saying too much about my children today, but my children at times would say, do you not love me? Have you ever had that as a parent? You mustn't. You haven't? We're the only bad parents here this morning. You know, say when we say, no, you can't have this or can't this, especially when they're younger, you must not love me. We all know that kids will say all kinds of things. But the truth is, I've seen this in my own children, and I know this to be true of my life. When I doubt that I am chosen, that I'm loved, not only because of what I will do, but because it is something that is given to me by a parent, it changes the way I feel I live my life. Perhaps in this season of Advent, there's an invitation for us to believe that we are the favored ones, that God's grace has been given to us, that we are his children, that we belong, that he has made us what we could not be in ourselves. That it is true what the Apostle Paul says, that we have been made sons and daughters of the living God. And you know, I a few weeks ago, I was invited to speak to a group of pastors at a Christmas party, and I thought there was only going to be a few, and it's like a whole bunch of pastors and their families. And one of the worst things to do as a pastor is to preach to pastors. You know? Just think of it this way. If you're an expert in a certain field, and you present to fellow experts, right? So I stood before them a little bit humbled, a little bit insecure in what I was going to say. And I got up there and I started to talk, and I actually spoke on this very passage. And I made this comment to them, you know, I said to them that there's something about this particular time and season in which we have to open our eyes to see what God really wants us to see. That in fact, not only, you know, is he present with us, but that he's working in our lives, that he cares about us, that he is intimately concerned with what's going on, that his grace is with us, that his favor is with us, even when we feel perhaps at times alone, and even at times when we feel disconnected. You know what I've learned about pastors is that we all struggle with this insecurity. We tie our value into our doing. We tie our sense of value into how good we've done this past year. Anybody like that? We think that God is only pleased when we have done our very best. And as I shared this, I didn't feel I was very successful. In fact, I said to myself, this is going to be one of those places I spoke that I'm going to check off on my list that says, probably won't be invited back. And one pastor walked up to me and he said, I so needed to hear that. I so needed to be reminded that God delights and has chosen to delight in me. Do you believe that today? That His favor is upon you? That when He thinks your name and when He looks at you, He says, this is my child whom I love, in him, in her, I delight. This is my children. The delight of God is the grace of God, the favor of God that comes, the closest we come is the feeling that parents have towards their children. And so the angel says, the reason you do not have to be afraid is because God favors you. But then he adds, he is also with you. You know, my longing as a pastor echoed in Psalm 42 is to be with the Lord. And when I think about that longing, that desire, it speaks to the reality that at times I do not believe or feel that God is present. Is it not interesting in this particular season of busyness in which we celebrate the coming Christ, that for many of us, the season moves us along so fast that we may be missing the very thing that it's supposed to point us towards. I think that when my heart resonates with the psalmist who desires to be with the Lord, the first inclination I have is, what must I do to be in the presence of God? Mary is just told that the Lord is with her. Now, did she not know this, or what does it really mean? In the book of Judges, there's a story of Gideon who's about to go up in battle against an army that was much bigger than his own army. And in that particular account, he goes back and forth with the angel of the Lord saying, I'm not sure I can do this, and I don't know if I can do this. And God gives him the instruction and then this assurance that I will be with you as you go. I think that to desire God's presence simply to be with me is a noble and an honest desire that I carry and that perhaps many of us here desire. How would we not want more of God in our life? To experience the joy of just being present with Him. But there's also a presence that is assured in the gospel message for Mary for what is to come as she allows herself to be participant to the plan of God, that God says, I will be with you as you are obedient in what's to come. That perhaps where God's presence is most made manifest is not simply to experience it in the joy of life just as we are, but also to experience it as the assurance that as we live our lives and fulfill the will of God, that God will be with us, that He will be with us as we are obedient and as we say yes to what He has in store for you and for me. So how do I enter into this season? I think with a strong longing and desire to have this be a different type of Christmas. I heard someone comment this morning as I was coming in through the doors, I'm starting to get excited about Christmas. Anybody else here like that? I share that experience. I decorated my home. I put some lights out on and only to find that the two reindeer I had, the lights are not working anymore, and so we have half a head lit up on our porch, and my kids remind me, they say, we're not doing a very good job, Dad. Look at our neighbors, you know, their lights work. And then Dad goes to Canadian Tire, and he goes, it's so expensive, why am I going to buy lights, you know? I'm excited about Christmas. I'm excited about all the things that many of us are excited about. It's a time to be with family. It's a time to exchange gifts. It's a time to bless one another and be in presence with one another. And I think there's something joyous about that. God delights in the joys that we experience in this world. But beyond that, I wonder if perhaps this season can be a season in which you start to believe, which I start to believe, that God truly favors us. That He truly loves you. You know, a few weeks ago, I said this to you as a congregation. I said, I hope that when I preach, you don't leave here every time going, man, I've underperformed again. Because the grace of God comes to us so lavishly through this Messiah King. It comes to us as we are, and He just wants to firm us up, you know. He wants you to know that He is pleased with you. You know, there's a freedom that comes when you know that God loves you and is pleased with you. There is a hopefulness to your walk. There's an assurance. There's a confidence. Will trials come? Will challenges come? Will setbacks come? Yes, they will come. But oh, to know that I'm the favored one of God. My Jamaican mom in Toronto calls at 5 a.m. most mornings and prays for me and leaves a word on there. You know, once we were having a conversation and she says, Pastor, I have to confess something. I said, what do you have to confess? She says, I act as if I'm God's most favorite person. And I realized that as she said that, how that I struggled to even get there. You know, so much of the world says our value is contingent upon other things, but this Christian faith is formed by a Christ who comes close and chooses ordinary people and says, I have come that you may know my grace, you may know my love, that you may know my favor. Oh, how I long for my children in every season of their growing up to always know the favor of me as a dad and Ruthann as a mom, and how God longs for the church to know His favor. I wonder this morning if we will take serious not only attend the invitation to believe that God favors us, but that God is with us. Look, I know that sometimes life can be difficult. And I also know this, that when I feel like I haven't been living the right life that I'm supposed to live, that God seems even further away. But this is the God who comes close to the broken, to the wounded, to the hurting, to the lonely. This is the God who in Jesus Christ would approach the sinner and make statements like this, that I have not come for the righteous, but for those who are broken. I want you to know that God does not distance Himself from us, even in our hurt, in our pain, but comes seeking to be present in our suffering. This is the message of Christmas, that God has come near to restore and to heal, and yet when we are most broken and most aware of that, we push away from the very presence that seeks to bring healing and hope. I wonder this morning, for some of us, and you probably sense that I'm a lot more calm than I usually am. That I'm somewhat sedate, but I'm trying to lean in and just to trust the word this morning that God has something to say for us as a church. You know, words can be words, can be words, can be words, and I can preach Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But you know, over the last few weeks in our prayer time before service, it's become exactly that. It's become a prayer time because I just so desire for God to do what He can do that Stu cannot do. And I desire for God to be present and active and alive within my life. And I've started to see that God is working, that He is present, that He is answering prayer. And I'm starting to pray different prayers now. I'm starting to pray, God, thank you that you have not left us to ourselves. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you are healing, that you are restoring, that you are doing things. There are people last week after our time of fellowship that sent me notes speaking to this very thing, that God is at work within the life of people. He is at work when I'm not at work. He is present in circumstances even when I am not present. He is with my children when I am not, and He is with me even in the times where I least expect Him to be. And so I invite you to recognize that the Lord is with Mary as He is with us. that this season would be a season of acknowledging the true living presence of God. We do not serve a God who is absent. We do not serve a God who does not care. But we serve a God whose favor is upon us and who is present with us. This morning, I'd like to conclude this message with an opportunity for us to bow our heads and to invite God by His Spirit to speak the very words that He spoke to His Son when John baptized Him, that this is My child whom I love. In Him I am well pleased. Would you take a moment this morning to confess the things that you feel keeps you from the love of God? Maybe for some of us here, you know, it's what we did or what we thought, or maybe for some of us it is always the sense that I'm just not good enough. I failed again. Would you be able to let go of that? Because the truth of it is holding you, not God. It is holding you from this grace. Would some of us take a moment to give God thanks today that we are truly saved by His grace, not on account of anything we've done? May we invite His presence into our life in such a way that we're able to stop trying to win His love, and just to be able to open our hearts and lives and say, thank You. Give Him thanks today because You are His church. You belong to Him today. And perhaps there's someone here today who feels, I am so alone, and I've wondered if God is there. And His word to you today comes through this preacher, that I am with you. I'm with you in the storm. I'm with you in the delights and the joys of life. I'm with you when you failed. I'm with you in your longing. I'm with you in your suffering. I am with you in each season of life. Father, we give You thanks today, for You are good. We give You thanks because we know that Your word can be relied upon, that Your word is steadfast, that You are a God who is faithful. I thank You today that You have taught me to depend upon You and less on myself. May this morning Your word encourage and strengthen our faith. May Your word remind us of what the season is truly about. And may we give You thanks, for we are truly Your children. In Jesus' name, amen.